Business leaders and politicians are gathering in Darwin today to push Australia to get on board with China's Belt and Road Initiative. Under the multi-billion dollar plan, China wants to revive an ancient network of land and ocean silk trade routes, connecting it to Europe, the Middle East and the Pacific. So far, 68 countries, including New Zealand, have signed up to Chinese President Xi Jinping's signature project. Australia has so far opted out due to regional security concerns. It's now working with the United States, India and Japan to establish an alternative scheme. John Brumby is National President of the Australia-China Business Council and is hosting today's conference. He's also a former Premier of Victoria. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Yeah, good morning, Hamish.
68 countries have signed up to China's Belt and Road Initiative. Australia has not. Should we, in your view?
Well, we've got a two-day conference here in Darwin to explore all that. Our conference is titled One Belt, One Road in Australia, Everything You Need to Know. Certainly from the perspective of the Australia-China Business Council, we see significant benefits to Australia, to Australian businesses, to Australian households, to Australia's standard of living from a more formal relationship with the Belt and Road Initiative.
Why is it necessary for us to join that, given that we already have this very valuable trading relationship with China and indeed a growing relationship with the rest of the region?
Well, I think there's two reasons for that. I think when you're it's like any organisation. If you're signed on to the plan, if you're part of the plan, if you're part of the group which is moving the projects forward, you are likely to be the beneficiary of more work, more projects and more activity than if you're standing outside it. And I think secondly, Hamish, to go to some of the issues which are often talked about, the intersection, if you like, of economic opportunity and security concerns, again, it's certainly our view that if you're on the inside, if you're part of the team, if you're contributing to governance and management arrangements, you're more likely to have an influence in the longer term over the shape and form of the scheme. So in short, if we're formally signed on, I think there'll be more work, more opportunities, more trade and more investment. And secondly, we'll have a bigger say in being able to shape the program going forward.
Is the Belt and Road Initiative just about trade, or are there also strategic and military advantages for China in the rollout of all of this?
Well, I don't see that. Some critics would argue that, but as I came on the program this morning, I was just listening to your news summary about the turmoil in the United Kingdom. The fact is that around the world now, particularly in the United States and particularly in the UK, there's an increasing drift, an increasing trend towards protectionism. And the one country in the world, really, the one substantial economic country in the world, which is pushing for more openness, more free trade, more movement of goods and services, is China. And from Australia's perspective, you know, when we look at our living standards, it's one of the very, very highest in the world. Those living standards have come about because we've been able to export goods all around the world.
I'm just interested, though, in what you said, though, about not seeing any strategic advantage for China, no military advantage for China through this Belt and Road Initiative. I mean, you will be familiar with the String of Pearls theory that is written about and argued, yes, by critics in relation to this project. You'll be familiar with the many questions about some of the ports that are being built as part of the Belt and Road Initiative and what military advantages they might present China with. Why do you not see that as a concern?
Well, I don't see those concerns as outweighing the huge benefits that come from what will be the biggest infrastructure and free trade program in the world's history.
But you acknowledge they exist, and you understand the consequences of those things.
Well, it's like saying, Hamish, it's like saying anybody or any country that invests around the world is likely to pose a security threat. You know, you can jump at shadows every day of the week if you wish.
But it is different with regards to China because of the perception, at least, that China wants to dominate the East Asia region and that this initiative would give them much broader global strategic reach.
Well, Hamish, you know, when I was going back more than a decade or so when I was Premier, I used to be asked to make a lot of speeches about infrastructure, about public-private partnerships, about the infrastructure needs in Victoria and Australia and our region. And, you know, if you look at our region, the infrastructure needs, whether you're talking about Indonesia or India or indeed parts of China, you're talking about Vietnam, Cambodia, the OECD estimates the infrastructure needs in our region at about $1.7 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars per annum. These are the things that are needed to lift the production of the productive capacity of ports, to provide water, to provide sewerage, to provide power supplies, to provide decent education and health facilities to poor people in our region. And so here's a plan that's going to elevate infrastructure spending. It's going to provide those benefits to those countries, and people line up to criticise it.
So you think the Belt and Road Initiative...
For years, that we desperately need that infrastructure spending. So on the infrastructure side, I just don't think there's a debate. The world needs infrastructure, and like many things, that
so you think
China
it's entirely
does,
benevolent then?
No, I've never said that. And one of the things that we'll be looking at in this conference is all of the issues. And you know, there's trade-offs, Hamish, in everything you do. You know, there's trade-offs always between the economy and the environment, but sensible people manage to work through those things so that they can try and maximise economic benefits and maximise environmental benefits. And in the case of Belt and Road Initiative, the opportunities for Australia in particular, the opportunities for our region to lift infrastructure spending, to lift economic growth, to lift standard of living, to lift more people out of poverty in our region is unprecedented. And Hamish, the final thing I'd say, whenever you engage, whether it's China or whether it's the United States, when you engage in a big infrastructure program of this type, you always get debate. That's a good thing. Sometimes you get criticism. When you look at the Marshall Plan after World War II, that certainly wasn't seamless. You know, there were suspicions about the Americans, about their place in the region. Was it really benevolent? Was it an American takeover? But you wouldn't look back now and say that the Marshall Plan was a bad thing, or that it increased security risks.
Okay.
On the contrary.
We do have to get to the news at 7 o'clock. I want
sure.
to ask you briefly, you're an independent director of Huawei Australia. Mm. The company's published ads in newspapers across the country this morning pushing for its participation in Australia's 5G network. The ad says one in every two Australians depend on Huawei for their communications needs. These ads, though, an acknowledgement, surely, that you have a PR problem.
Well, the ads are part of letting Australians know that we've been part of the Australian community for 15 years. We are the world's biggest manufacturer of telecommunications equipment. So if you're using a mobile phone, if you're using the internet or broadband, you're most likely using Huawei equipment. And our equipment tends to be generally the best in the world, and it tends to be very competitively priced. So the combination of those two things has meant that Australians have been able to get access to better broadband, better phone facilities, and to do that at a price which is lower than it otherwise would be. And we just want people to understand that story.
John Brumby, thank you for your time this morning.
Good on you. Thanks, Hamish.
John Brumby is the National President of the Australia-China Business Council and an independent director of Huawei Australia.